Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper, filling in for Jeffrey Davis today. Our next guest in the studio is Richard Baker of the New England Intellectual Property Institute.
LLC. It's my own little one-man company. Okay. And I have probably the best job in the world because I work with inventions and entrepreneurs, and every day I've got something new coming into my office. If someone's coming in with an invention, it's usually the latest and greatest technology, and I get to study it and be an engineer and help describe it. If someone comes to me with a patent that they want to be sold, I get to do the marketing brochures on it. This is one that I did for a client of mine. I get to do the sales, prepare all the sales, do the financials on it. I get to work on all different aspects of companies on the latest and greatest technologies. It's a phenomenal job.
That is, how long have you been doing that?
Oh, boy. On my own for 7 years as president of New England Intellectual Property. But before that, I was with 3Com Corporation as their director of intellectual property licensing. I was there 5 years. And before that, I was at Schneider Automation, which is a division of the French conglomerate Schneider Electric. Mm-hmm. Where I started as a software and engineer, did engineering management, and then set up their intellectual property department.
Oh, interesting. So you don't have a background in law?
No, I actually am not a lawyer. That's not to say I haven't taken a couple of classes mm-hmm. at UNH Law School and that I need to do my job, mm-hmm. but I'm an engineer and someone with an entrepreneurial bent and just a love for technology and inventors. I'm an inventor myself. I've got 30 U.S. patents with my name on it, and though most of those are owned by other companies, five of them are owned by my son and myself.
Oh, interesting. And what domain are those patents in?
They're in a projector pen, and my son came to me one day, said, you know, these projectors, they're way too big. At some point, I want a projector that's the size of a pen. So mm-hmm. we sat down and figured out how to do that mm-hmm. And went through. He now has 5 U.S. patents. I think there's one Chinese patent in there. And we're just starting to see that being used in some of the big theater laser projectors now. We're starting to use some of the technology in there.
Oh, interesting. Because I used to spend a lot of time at conferences with the big vaulting projectors that didn't always work and then blew out a bulb in the middle. But
you're starting to see now
the miniaturization. That
the miniaturization, the add-ons to your smartphone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're watching all of that market to see where the technology is going and seeing if there are people that might be interested in licensing these patents.
Oh, interesting. So you're taking the licensing approach as opposed to necessarily going and producing it yourself.
Right. For that particular invention, yes.
And you help people make those decisions themselves if they come to you with an invention of whether what approach they should take?
Right. Whether to license, whether to sell, or whether to form a startup. Mm-hmm. One of the companies I've been associated with is a company called Founders Wanted, mm-hmm. where they have a portfolio of patents. A Rolodex of founders and entrepreneurs, and they marry them together. Because your typical startup is 4 guys sitting around a table with a 6-pack of beer, and whoever's got the best idea in the room is the invention that they start the company around. But those 4 guys may not have the best idea. That may come from somebody else who has no entrepreneurial skills, no ability to start a company, but they've got the best technology that would be the basis. And so Founders Wanted tries to put those together. That was one of my customers. I've got another customer who is a serial entrepreneur. He had been, he started dozens and dozens of companies. Big inventor. He had 30 U.S. patents, and he just got annoyed with things. He was a very busy man. He was running a dozen companies at the same time, and he just made a list. These are the things that annoy me. Well, one day he decided, I'm going to start a company and take this list of annoyances, go hire some engineers. He hired me on as president of the company. It was Twin Harbor Labs, and go hire some college students, write all of these ideas up. So they're 1 or 2 sentence ideas. You've got to, we had to sit and do all of the engineering around it, do the marketing, see if there was really a product around there. And we developed them. I worked on the patent side, made sure the descriptions were good for the patent office, filed them. The patents have now issued, and we're now doing the second round of patents for that, for the Twin Harbor Labs. And that's what these are, two brochures that I put together, because I'm now we're trying to find somebody to do startups on them. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
One of them is an EMP protected hard drive. Mm-hmm. So when the Koreans launch something into Southern California, you don't lose your data. Or if a lightning strikes the pine tree outside your house, you don't lose your data. And we have, you know, like a dozen of these inventions, which Twin Harbor Labs has. We don't have the manpower to do entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for entrepreneurs to start companies there. And I have other clients that are looking to buy patents. Mm-hmm. So if any of your clients, if any of your listeners are entrepreneurs that their companies fail that are patented, I'd be happy to talk to them about how we can make money on them, even though the startup didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. So about that particular patent that you brought up before, the EMP.
Right.
Wouldn't you go to like the big companies that make hard drives as like a potential customer for those? And
That's part of my sales job. I've got my Salesforce.com database for this product. And we identified 30, 40 companies that might be interested. And we've sent them this prospectus. That's why it's the 8.5 color glossy, mm-hmm. so that it catches the attention of the biz dev people over at, you know, Seagate or any of the other companies, mm-hmm. trying to find somebody that'd be interested in taking it on.
All right, and you have to make sure that your patents are protected and that you give it to them in a way that they don't just take the idea and run with it.
Right. Well, that's one of the things that we firmly believe in is, as an entrepreneur, if you don't have a startup, mm-hmm. you know, if Google likes your idea, they're just going to run with it. And you don't have the channel or the marketing savvy or the money to do anything with it. As an entrepreneur, your only chance of success is to have that patent and have a strong patent system that you can go to the big companies and say, hey, take a license for us. Mm-hmm. You know, how else do we as inventors feed our family and pay the mortgage? Mm-hmm. We need to have a way to protect ourselves from the large corporations, which will take your inventions and leave you in the dust if you don't have something like a patent to protect you.
Yeah. What do you think about all the changes in the patent laws that have come through over the past couple of years?
I actually wrote a paper that was cited to the Supreme Court a couple of months ago on the value of patents dropping by $1.5 trillion because of the patent reforms, the American Invents Act of 2012, I believe, 2011. Mm-hmm. It devastated the industry. And you're now starting to see startups having trouble right now getting the funding, because the funding from the VCs and the angel investors, a lot of it is going overseas where you have stronger patent protection. China has a better patent protection right now than the United States does. Now, there's a case in the Supreme Court right now, the one that my paper was cited on, that if it's decided the way we're hoping, it'll make patents a lot more valuable and help entrepreneurs. But at least, you know, if you've got the patent, you've got something you can argue over in court. If you haven't filed a patent, you've got nothing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. It's a very complicated area. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, I don't know what it costs to get a patent, and I imagine that cost is highly variable as well.
It is. I try to tell people over the 20-year life of a U.S. patent, it'll cost you about $15,000. Mm-hmm. Now, the federal government's got maintenance fees that get paid at 3.5, 7.5, and 11.5 years. That's going to be at least a third of that. Getting the patent, for about $3,000, $3,500, I'll quote an inventor that I'll draft the patent, and then for the patent office, it's about $730 to get it filed. and another 480 to get it allowed if you can get it by the patent examiner.
And how long does that take, the patent process?
Well, it's an interesting question. It used to be 5-10 years ago that it would be 4 or 5 years. Now we're seeing that the patent office is taking about 2 or 3 years. But if you're willing to pay the patent office an extra $2,000 to fast track it, I've had patents in 6 months, which is just unbelievable. But you've got to pay the extra money, and the patent office promises a determination of either it's patentable or they'll say it's not patentable. There's still procedures you can go beyond that. Within 12 months, they'll make a final determination.
I guess the other interesting question that comes up is about international protection around inventions.
Yes, and I was careful to say U.S. patent, because patents are national. So if you've got a U.S. patent and you have to work on it, you can then get a patent. You then try to each individual company, and it can cost $500,000 to get reasonable worldwide coverage. Now, if you're a pharmaceutical company and you've got one patent on that $1 billion drug, it's worth it. If you're doing an improvement to an electronics device, there's no way I'd recommend anyone do that. I figured the U.S. market's about 1/3 of the year, 30% to 33% of the world market. For most inventors, that's a big enough market to make it worth enough money to earn enough money on that to pay your salary and put your kids through college. For my son's patent, we also filed in China as the world's manufacturer. I don't remember how much that cost us. I mean, this is all. This is one of those things I don't want to add up and figure out how much I've spent on that. But there you catch another huge market in sales and your manufacturing. And you want your patent effective either where it's sold or where it's manufactured. Because if it's manufactured, you get everything that comes out of the back door of the factory. If it's sold, you get everything that's sold within that the jurisdiction of the patent. So, it's a strategy.
Yeah, no, I can imagine it's quite the strategy to figure out and optimize that to figure out where you want to have your patents. But having a U.S. patent protects you if you're selling the product in the U.S., but somebody could copy that in, say, Europe or something like that.
Exactly. Can't get a patent in Europe, but they can copy it, and there's nothing you can do about it until those products hit the shore of the United States.
So basically they're protected from competition in the United States if they're violating that patent.
Right. But the U.S. is a dominant market and well worthwhile.
Yeah, no, that makes...
EU is really, really tough because you've got dozens and dozens of countries there that you need a patent in, and you can easily go bankrupt. They're much more expensive. The government fees become exponential. So the longer your patent is in effect, the more expensive it is.
So do you still need an individual patent for each country in Europe?
Or yes, you do.
Even though
They're working towards the
harmonizing that a bit.
But, every time it seems like it's about to happen, it doesn't. And, some of the stuff is in flux. And I really don't pay that much attention to Europe because the costs are just, too expensive for us.
That makes sense.
Because I mostly deal with small businessmen and entrepreneurs and individual inventors that, are paying for this out of family money. This isn't coming out of huge corporate coffers.
Right, and you can't really get venture capital to fund you before you have a patent.
Right. The VCs want to see that this truly is yours and what you own.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you for coming in today, Richard.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Alex. It's been fun talking to you.
Yeah, you'll have to come back sometime.
I definitely will.
So if people want to get in touch with you, they have the great idea, great invention, and they want to make sure it's protected and figure out the business strategy to go forward, how can people reach you?
Okay, it's Rich Baker from New England Intellectual Property, rbaker@newenglandip.com, or you can call me at 978-363-1700.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Alex.